Recorded live from the unfinished loft project of Des's home just outside Brighton in Sussex, welcome to the £200,000 to £100,000 Challenge podcast. This is your no thrills, no BS, and absolutely no get rich quick or passive income promises hub. Hosted by your man, Des Hamilton.
Ahoy hoy, welcome back to the £200,000 to £100,000 Challenge podcast. I'm your host, Des, and it seems like we're getting new listeners every week. So we'll have another quick intro, but first of all, if anyone's watching this on YouTube, you'll notice that you can actually see me this time. Hello, everybody. I've set this up. We're going to go more visual. The interviews that we've got for the next few weeks, they are in audio form only, but we are going to start recording those visually soon. So you'll see the whole thing can be visual. So if you are listening to this on your podcasty places, it will be exactly the same. But if you are waiting for YouTube, you'll actually see us. And hopefully it will all be remote to start with, and we can get to a place where I can pretend to be Stephen Bartlett and we will talk seriously in a room with our super microphones and our super headphones. But let's get into who I am, what this podcast is, okay? Back in September 2022, despite having a full-time job, three kids and a pregnant wife at the time, I took 200 quid and a two-year goal to turn that 200 quid into £100,000. And I wanted to do that by putting 30% on top of each month's growth for 24 months. I decided to start an Amazon FBA journey to kick things off. And I also decided to document the whole thing on social media in the hope that I could get some extra income opportunities and bolster my business by having multiple income streams. And here I am now, just shy of a year later, not with a pregnant wife anymore, but with an extra kid. So that's four kids. Over £17,000 in the business bank account, and somehow well over 80,000 followers across TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. Actually, not so many on Instagram, so come and follow me on Instagram, please. YouTube as well, and email subscription lists. And now we're taking over your ear holes too. So what I want this podcast to be is your one-stop shop for no frills, no BS advice, forgoing all of those get-rich-quick schemes and empty promises of passive income. We focus on the real ways to elevate your financial game. I get to document my journey and my challenge in real time so you know the things that I'm going through. I throw out the tips I've learned along the way, which includes juggling the kids, my job, my mortgage, and the things I've got in the pipeline to tick those income streams over. But most importantly, as well as showcasing what I do on this podcast, I have guests that have come along that share their insights to make you a better entrepreneur and give you the best mindset you can have. And then you can strive to maintain this mindset in making your side hustle become your best chance to have the nicer things in life for you and your family, the same way I am. Now, these are mostly very successful people that are coming in to share an insight onto their path to glory. I also like speaking to the new people that have come out of training that are just starting their journey to find something to relate to. Today's interview is part one with Kamal and Shay, better known as the Amazon guys, the Honest Amazon FBA Guide on TikTok. They've got nearly 15,000 followers. Seriously, get following these boys. Their link, I'll pop it in the show notes or the description of the YouTube channel. These two guys were friends from childhood and they went into business together and they've made serious waves, especially in the wholesale model. They've pulled in nearly £2 million in sales in 2023 alone. And they've done it mostly using wholesale with a little bit of private label. We're going to dive deep into their journey, their strategies, their realities of building an Amazon FBA business from scratch. Trust me, this is a really good one. And if you're interested in Amazon wholesale, it's a really important listen. Because in 2023, if you type wholesale into any social media platform, you'll be sold a course quicker than a hiccup. The cowboys are out in full force on this one. I want to highlight that these cowboys that sell these dodgy courses, they do a disservice to the good people that provide good courses because they are out there. But the one thing we can all agree on, when it comes to the sheer volume of white noise you hear on the socials, Amazon wholesale, when done right, will make you rich. And I had it in mind when I started the challenge and when I wrote my numbers back down in 2022. I knew that I was thinking, right, I'd get to 5K and I'd get into wholesale. And then I'll get into 10K and I'd do private label. I mean, the reality happened, of course, and I've done none of those things here. I'm at 17,000 and I realise it's not as black and white as that. I haven't really got started on either wholesale or private label until this month. My Claire and I, we made our first wholesale order this month and we spent well over a grand. Actually, well over a grand and a half on a test order of a handful of products. Scary stuff, right? It made me feel like a brand new seller again. And we'd done the data, we'd done the checks, we looked, done all of our due diligence, and everything looked brilliant. I mean, I teach this stuff, God's sake. But the money involved, it scared the life out of me. And I know, on the grand scheme of things, it's still a tiny amount. The big sellers out there, the six, seven figures, they do this every day. But I started with £200, and all of a sudden, I'm making an order that's well over seven times that amount. And it freaked me out. And it's not gone live yet. And it scared the life out of me. But I think it's really important. Keep me grounded. If you're watching this, if you're listening to this, don't ever let me forget this feeling, please. I never want to be one of those that forgets the value of that and just starts throwing money around like confetti. So as I'm starting out in wholesale, speaking to Kamal and Shay, it really did help. This is going to be another two-parter, and we'll do the second half coming next week. So let's get into the chat. After the interview, stick around for my tip of the week, and we can go through the things in the interview that stuck out to me. All right then, everyone, before we dive into the meat of today's interview, let's pause and discuss something that's critical for every Amazon seller: finding products that actually make you money. And let's face it, it's either a treasure hunt or it's a needle in the haystack, depending on your mindset, right? Well, what if I told you there's a tool that could turn that haystack into a gold mine? Introducing Arbisource, our sponsor for today's episode, and your new secret weapon in the Amazon selling game. You've already heard from its brilliant founder, Callum Boyd, in the past 2 weeks. Arbisource is an extraordinary piece of software designed to scan hundreds of online retailers to pinpoint the absolute best leads for your Amazon business. It takes the grind and the guesswork out of the equation, freeing up your time to do what you do best: scale your business. It's not about making life easier. It's about making your business more profitable. With features tailored to the needs for both beginners and experienced sellers, Arbisource is designed to accelerate your path to your goals. Now get this, Arbisource has been generous enough to extend a special offer just for our listeners and our viewers. Use the discount code HELLORICH, that's all capitals, no spaces, HELLORICH, and you'll get 50% off your first order after your mandatory 7-day free trial. Half price. If you're tuning in or if you're watching after September, that code will still nab you a solid 30% discount, by the way. It's a golden opportunity. Just visit the link in the show notes and don't forget the code HELLORICH. You won't regret it. And I do recommend that you listen to last week's episode at the same time so you can hear the features that Callum's most proud of and use them to your opportunity. A huge thank you again to Callum and Arbisource for sponsoring this episode and supporting the community. Let's get back to the show. So here we are with the Amazon guys. How are you doing, boys?
Well, good, man. Goodness. How are you?
Yeah, all right. Thank you. All right. Right, so what we want to do, really, let's get into your story, your journey, because when we see you on the socials, you're fully fledged, you're up and running, you're in your warehouse, you're doing massive numbers, by the way, which is amazing. How did you guys meet and how did you decide to do what you did? Let's hear your story.
Yeah, so childhood friends. So we grew up not too far from each other in Walthamstow, East London. So. Yeah. We've always known each other, and I think it was during uni we started, connecting a bit more on a business level. And then post-uni, we was both in our careers, but wanted, just naturally, like everyone else, wanted something slightly different, wanted to work for yourself. And then we had a friend of ours, he was an investment banker, and he quit his career to do Amazon full-time. So that kind of opened our eyes to the potential.
Wow.
So got into conversations with him. He kind of showed us initially how it works and everything like that. And then we actually started our Amazon journey separately as individuals.
Right.
And then there's a story behind that. But then we eventually just decided to do it together, essentially. And then initially it was just... Amazon seemed like one of the most realistic ways to... It's one thing saying you want to kind of quit your job and start a business, but there's not that many businesses that you can kind of quit your job today and you can be up and running and trading straight away.
Yeah, exactly.
We saw that opportunity and we just took it.
How's your investment banker pal doing? Is he still going?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's still going. He's doing well. I'd say he's probably slightly larger than us at the moment. So, yeah, he's doing well.
Yeah, really good. Really good stuff. And what careers did you guys go into after uni?
So, Kamal was working in recruitment at the time, recruitment, and I was working in engineering, I think, when we started.
Two very different things then.
Yeah, but I think both of us wanted something a bit different at the time.
So when you started talking about Amazon, you said you went down separate journeys. How did that go for both of you?
Mine was pretty straightforward. I'll let Shay say his because it's more complex. But yeah, no, for me, I just started the company and was kind of just learning the process and everything like that. during that time I was speaking with Shay about it because he was starting as well.
Yes, so this was while I was working as an engineer. So I think I literally, like me and Kamal would be speaking quite regularly just on Amazon and how it worked. And then I think one day I literally just bought two gaming keyboards from Argos and then sent them in. And then the next day they sold. And I was like, oh, okay, this is real. Like, you can't get money from it. And then after, I remember calling Kamal and being, yo, we need to do this kind of bigger than just, you know, sending two keyboards. So yeah, that was kind of the real first seeing that, oh, this can quickly, you know, you can quickly get stuff in, quickly, you know, actually make money from stuff that you buy.
Kamal, what was your first sale?
So this is the thing. So I hadn't, my first sale was in business with Shay. So,
right.
So Shay actually had sent those two products in and I hadn't actually traded at that point. So from there, yeah, that was our, so that would have been both of our first products.
Nice.
Our first products that we sent in.
Was it the dummies?
Or was it was, I think it was that plot top product. Yeah. It was like a baby product. And it's, I wish I could find the listing because the rank was terrible.
Oh.
It wasn't even good. We didn't know that. There wasn't much resources online back then on how, you know, to find good products and everything like that. Yeah. You knew the general premise of it, but we didn't know even about average rank. So we just looked at, I think, current rank. So I had the
current
okay, price. Current rank. Yeah, looked at current price and then just went for it. But no regrets in that because that's what we kind of advise people a lot of the time. Don't overthink your first products. You just dive into it and understand the process and don't try and create perfection from the beginning. Do that over time.
Perfect. Couldn't agree more. This is why when I do it, I go down the used books route just so you might lose a quid or two, you know, but you go through the process. With you guys working together then, what led you into the wholesale model?
So we initially just started with wholesale. It's actually quite an interesting story. We started with wholesale and done it for maybe, I think like 6 months, maybe 6 to 9 months. And then afterwards we said, we need to just kind of generate more money to get bigger accounts. As you like people, we always tell people like realistically, you need probably like 1 to 2K to start like wholesale good. To actually put through a couple of orders. And for us, we kind of were, I don't want to say struggling, but we would realize that our money wasn't stretching that long. So we actually started with wholesale and then went back to ARP. And it was quite funny because like you said, we really did go pretty hard in the used book category for quite a while.
Did you?
Yeah, very, very. I mean, used and new books, but it was all arbitrage, all of it. That was great. We were able to make quite a bit of money in it. Shorter period of time and come out of it and then kind of get back into wholesale with a buying power.
Yeah. So let's talk about that then. How did you make money quickly? Because the used book model that I've been looking at, you're talking 3 months before you can get a return. I suppose it's all in your sourcing. But how are you doing it?
So at the time where we was doing arbitrage, we wasn't only doing used books. So yeah, so used books are good for what we call these like margin and ROI. But we was also selling a lot of toys and like video games and things like that. Back then, again, like, I know a lot of people struggle with toys and stuff because you're gated from a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But back then, like, for some reason, we just wasn't ever gated from the category or most brands we was ungated for. So we made a lot of our money fast with toys, I would say. Mm. And then we made a lot of margin with the books.
Got you. What year was this?
2018, 2019. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Got you. Just trying to put this out in my head. So you guys went wholesale and then was it cash flow that made you go back to arbitrage or was it a case of there were things about the model that weren't quite as you thought they would be?
There's a few things. So like we started wholesale because that friend that was an investment banker started with he done wholesale, so we knew he started with arbitrage, and then it was seen as like wholesale is a prestige above arbitrage. So we just thought like, okay, well, we want to do the better business model. so that's what kind of why we started with wholesale. And then I think it's what Shay said before. Like we just knew that we was opening wholesale accounts, and then when we looked at our purchasing budget, it just wasn't enough to fulfill some of the MOQs.
Yeah.
It wasn't enough
to have any negotiation power and leverage. So we just kind of felt like, okay, maybe with the budget we have, let's just try and flip products via arbitrage to generate more of a purchasing budget to then go back into wholesale.
I think this is going to be one of the best things that we can get out there in terms of the message. It's when a seller is going to be suitable for wholesale, because it seems that, I mean, you guys must see this as well. When you go on the socials, it seems that wholesale is the goal. It's kind of sold sometimes that it's achievable straight away as a new seller with a fairly small budget.
Yeah, I think that's definitely one message we've tried to just tell people to be realistic about that. You know, you don't want to be on, like, if you're on socials and you see people saying, yeah, you can start wholesale with £500. It's like, you can, but that may be one account and it may even be difficult to buy all the products or even meet the MOQ. And there's a lot of wholesalers who have much bigger MOQs and different requirements as well. Another thing that we try and tell people, that it's not as simple as just you have the money. As Kamal said as well, one of the biggest things that we learned over time is to negotiate. But one of the biggest ways and easiest ways to negotiate is just having more buying power.
That's it. I mean, money talks, doesn't it?
It does. So yeah, that's kind of what we realized pretty early, that we just needed more capital.
The experiences that I've found when I've spoken to people in wholesale, the ones that made it really good really early on, they either had a huge starting capital or they had the gift of the gab more than you would ever believe. And they would understand that you could go to a trade show and take a guy out for a coffee, you know, just next level engagement stuff.
Yeah.
And so I'm guessing, with a background in recruitment, I'm guessing you were the first one to go out and start networking, weren't you?
Do you know what? So I'd say, you know, we definitely both played that role. And I think in this industry, what you said, some people either had a lot of capital or some people had the gift of the gab. So, like, we've found that, like, money is so on top of, like, relationships, especially when you're working with wholesalers and distributors. Like, relationships are important. However, if we've seen it when we've gone into certain accounts with just, like, a big purchasing budget, that we are treated well. And if we had a longer standard relationship with that account, would they necessarily treat us as good just because of, you know, if we're not going to spend as much as we're proposing? So that, like, it is really, really vital to, because we don't want to say, I'm saying this because I don't want people to be put off and think that, you know, you have to be like a good networker or a good salesperson to do well in Amazon. That's not the only thing that's going to help you. Like, money does help a lot. So that's why we really do try to push people building up capital over time and then attacking wholesale. But as Craig said, like, you can start with a small budget, but you just have to manage your expectations.
No, I think that's a really important message. The beauty of Amazon is that genuinely anyone can do it.
Yeah.
That's the beauty, isn't it? And everything else you kind of learn as you go. But I'm kind of figuring out, even a year in, that I think I'm going to be learning as I go forever.
It really is a thing. I think people think that, yeah, like, we know everything. And obviously we just have a bit more experience than people. But it took us, I think, a year and a bit to work out how the Amazon fees work, which obviously we shouldn't when you're selling so much. But it's like, we're always learning new things about Amazon. There really is a lot to it. You can do it on a very simple level, but there's a lot of different aspects to just selling on Amazon that you can just keep learning. So.
No, absolutely. I agree. Before I spoke to you guys this morning, I had a chat with a VA, and she was talking me through the various methods of sourcing that she does. Mm. It blew my mind. She was coming out of terms. Like, apparently there's, like, methods of sourcing that are really well known. I've never heard of. And she was showing me things with Keeper. My God.
Oh,
I've been doing Keeper wrong for about 10 months, it turns out.
Yeah, I mean, we that one's really funny, because we tell people about Keeper and we keep getting them. They're like, oh, are you sponsored by Keeper? And it's like, no, but there's a big reason why we keep telling people to use Keeper. It's not just looking at graphs. I'll say that.
Honestly, the reverse sourcing and the variation rabbit holes you can go down, blew my mind, this thing. Okay, so once you got started and once you realized you were going to get serious with this thing, did you talk about goals? Did you lay out a plan, or did you just sort of wing it month to month and figure it out for the first year or so?
So we've talked about goals throughout our journey. From the beginning, we always spoke about goals. But in all honesty, early on, the goals were purely financial. It wasn't. Yeah. It was just, but I don't know why. We always had this figure in our heads to make 10K a month gross profit. And I don't know where that comes from. Maybe it's, I think it's from our friend that does Amazon. That's, I think when we started, that's what he was doing.
Yeah.
And that was always in our head. But the interesting thing about that, this is something we don't talk about enough. So that you can do Amazon two ways, in our opinion. You can either do it as a side hustle, or you can build a relatively big business.
Mm.
That growth period in between both is very difficult, because you can make it to a level where you're making 10, 20,000 a month, but then you are fast track to a level where you need staff and you need your own warehouse facility and you need all this extra stuff to run an actual business.
Mm.
So then 10K doesn't become a lot, because you have you now have a lot of expenses.
Yeah.
So it's a very difficult, I think people don't think about that, because, you know, if you're doing Amazon now and you're making, for example, 1K a month, in your mind, you're thinking, you know, imagine when I'm making 10K, but you might not realize what that comes with.
Yeah.
In terms of operation, it is quite a lot.
It's a shame we're not on video, because I'm beaming from ear to ear. I literally had this conversation with my wife yesterday. I don't understand how this 10K a month thing, because that was one of my goals. I think it's one of everyone's goals, because it's just, I think it's small enough that the average person like me can dream for it.
Yeah.
But it's also big enough that it's something that could change your life, you know. And I think it's that sweet spot.
Yeah.
But exactly right. I made a post early on saying that 0 to 30,000 would be impossible, but 30,000 to 100 would be a breeze. My God, how wrong was I? That's ridiculous. And it's exactly, I'm figuring this out now, because I'm making a good 2-3 grand each month now from this.
Yeah.
And I'm already, my outgoings have already scaled up much more beyond that. And you think, yeah, when I get to 10, I'm just going to be paying out more.
Yeah. Because it's like, you know, at the same time, if we wanted to, we could run relatively, we could probably run this entire business, but and do everything, like do all the prep, do all the sourcing and everything. But we would literally fall asleep.
Yeah. You'd be flat out every single day.
Yeah. So you can, like, because our friend that does it, that we've referred to a couple of times, he essentially does everything. Like, he's got a big business, but he, you know, does nearly, I would say, everything for his business. But for us, that doesn't really make sense, because you want to get it to a point where you might not get it fully automated, but if you can outsource a lot of the more tedious, I guess you could say, low-skilled tasks, maybe you just do the sourcing or whatever it is, I think that's it only makes sense at that point. We're just going to find yourself working really hard for the rest of that.
Yeah.
I think that's a valid point as well. That, well, I mean, what's the point of having your own business if you don't give yourself freedom?
Exactly.
Yep.
And it's a fine line. And the harder you work, the quicker you could be to learn to resent it as well. You kind of want to make it enjoyable forever as well, don't you?
Yeah, definitely.
With you guys going through it together and going through those various levels together, talk us through sort of like the harder times, the times where you've needed to lean on each other, or where one of you's gone, you know what, I'll take this. How have you found that?
I guess to talk about the harder times was obviously, I think the hardest point for us was kind of the, I'm not saying middle phase, but when we kind of started wholesale again. So from the beginning, we just never took any money from the business for the first 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Which obviously when we started, we were around 22, 23. So obviously it's a weirdish time, because it's post-uni. All of your friends are kind of going out. I remember
traveling and all sorts of that,
We can't. And I remember one summer where I think there was one day and there were multiple parties in the day, and we were just in Starbucks going through a price list and didn't find any products. It was the worst day ever. But, yeah, I mean, it's obviously, you know, like it's tough. It makes it easier when it's someone, you know, that we've like, Kamal's someone I've grown up with. So it makes it easier when I know a lot about him. I've been going through exactly the same things. We have the same friend group. So it's not just me.
Yeah.
But those hard times are tough, because, you know, we both have to kind of speak to each other and say like, no, like we know what the goal is and we know how to get there. And sometimes it's like we both just got to pull our finger out and actually really, really just put in the work, which obviously has paid off. But those hard times of not paying yourself, it wasn't easy.
I can imagine. I can imagine. I mean, there's apart from everything else, there is no way I could have got into business with any of my pals in our 20s. But you two, the fact that you both got the same mindset to say, I don't care what's going on, let's carry on through this prize list, get me another Americano. You know, I know that one of us, if me and one of my pals, it could have been any of them, one of us would have broken and gone, nope, I'm going to Magaluf. I can't imagine the willpower that you two have got, and you did it together. That's amazing for me. And I think that's something that I think should really be applauded for both of you as well.
No, I appreciate that. I think we definitely take like our partnership for granted because we've just always been in business. I think sometimes we forget that like it's not easy to actually just find a business partner, someone that you're actually aligned with. So in those moments, yeah, like neither of us flaked or ever, you know, just didn't put in the work. Yeah, in all honesty, it's only when people say it back to us, I really don't know how we had the willpower back then.
Yeah.
It's just not the type of thing that like, you know, it's not like how people talk about Forex. It's not like you're here today and then next week you could have 10 grand in your pocket. It's not like money. So how we stayed motivated, I actually don't know, because some people have asked us that and don't really have an answer. But I think it's just, I guess, the goal you have in your head, that 10K goal that you are, you know, chipping away towards that.
Yeah, and I think the model helps that as well, because one of the best things about Amazon, I talked about this yesterday, I was being interviewed yesterday, and you've got all of these different various e-commerce platforms and models. But Amazon is one of the very few where you get very quick feedback on a product, whether it works or where it doesn't. You know, you get very quick gratification. So if you send something in, it could be 2-3 weeks before you know if you get a sale. And that motivates you to go, this works, I'm going to do it again.
Yeah, yeah.
Drop shipping, you could work for 6 months before you know whether you've done it right or not. And you could put thousands in.
Yeah.
But Amazon sort of enables you to know in fairly low costs as well, whether something works, and it kind of kicks you on and motivates you. So if you know that you're working towards a goal and you've got a model that you can see weekly is working for you, I suppose that makes life easier as well, right?
Yeah, a lot easier. And it's as you said, it's just something that if you're trying to scale it and you get the proof from certain products, you know that you can keep scaling, because for you, it's, oh, I just need to find more of these type of products, which obviously helps.
I told you, didn't I? I hope you all picked up as many nuggets of wisdom as I did there. That was really, really impressive. Their success story, it's not just inspiring, but it's also educational, especially for those that are looking to dive into the wholesale model. I found it fascinating how they've sacrificed and thrown everything into making this so successful in the 5 years or so that they've been selling, especially in those early days. Sitting in that coffee shop while all their pals were out partying, without any software that we've got now, going through product leads manually. That's incredible. Let's get to the tip of the week. Tip of the week. Now, what really struck me through their goal-oriented approach from day one, just like them, I've been a big believer in setting specific actionable goals. It's not just about wanting to achieve something vague like, I want to do well in Amazon or I want to get rich in it. It's about defining what doing well actually means and setting out what exactly allows you to live your best day every day. So for Kamal and Shay, their goals were clear, whether that was to hit the fabled the 10K a month or this year to hit the £2 million in sales. And look at them. They've reverse engineered their end game and they set up milestones and then they put it in the work. Now, my own journey, I'm using the same tactic, only at a much smaller scale. I started with my ultimate aim, which was what, reaching £100,000 within a set time frame. But then I broke it down. What did I need to do each month to get to that number? That's how you set this elephant-sized goal and make it bite-sized, manageable, and achievable. Tip of the week. And there you go. That's the show. Next week, we're going to be speaking to the Amazon guys again. We're going to get deeper into their business, their wholesale model, their team, their management of suppliers, the tools they use, their warehouse, what the future looks for them. And then we're going to run into the first of our listener questions for the guests as well. There's another tip of the week, and I'm sure I'll throw a monologue or two at you too, because I like it. Right, before we wrap up, I'd like to thank Callum at Arborsource again for sponsoring the show. Don't forget the code HELLORICH when you're signing up to Arborsource. I'd also like to thank you, our loyal listeners and viewers, for your continued support. It really, really means the world. If you found this episode valuable, please, please consider leaving us a review or sharing the podcast with your network. Until next week, I'm Des. This has been the 200 to 100,000 pound challenge podcast. Here comes the music and here comes the voiceover lady, who's a very good friend, by the way. See you next week. Laters.
Be sure to join us next time for another dose of inspiration and insights into e-commerce and entrepreneurship. And who knows, by then, Des may well have finished that love project. And always remember, it's time to say goodbye poor, hello rich. This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only and should not be considered as financial advice. We know times are tough right now, and if you are struggling financially, please seek help from an appropriate organisation. We've included a link to the Citizens Advice Bureau in the show notes. Remember, you should always consult with a qualified professional before making any significant financial decisions.